It is a beautiful day to come together and be together as brothers and sisters in Christ, to praise His name, to lift Him on high, and glorify Him who is in heaven. We need to remember who it is that we serve, and that He truly is the God of this universe, of this earth, and of us and our souls. This morning we are in John chapter 8, where Jesus proclaims to those who will listen to Him that He is the light of the world. He says, "I am that light." Light does some amazing things, doesn't it? I mean, without light, we can't see. That's what our eyes use to determine where objects are and where they are in within a room. If things went completely black in this room, and I know even if we turned off the lights right now, the sun's still bright enough outside to give us enough light that we could see enough to make our way around the room. But if it went completely dark, would you have trouble walking? Would you have trouble finding your way to the doors? Some of us might begin to go up against the wall and just feel along the wall to make our way down to the door. Light is so important to everything that we do. Even on our cars, what do we have? We have headlights, right? And without those headlights, when they're turned off and we're driving down a dark country road, uh-oh, right? You're not going to see unless the moon is up and the moon is reflecting the light from the sun. If it's bright enough, you can see. Light is extremely important. But here comes Jesus proclaiming that He is the light of the world. And we're going to look in John chapter 8 and even into John chapter 9 this morning, looking at some different ways that we are in darkness or people find themselves in darkness. The first one is, in verses 1 through 11 of John chapter 8, we see the moral darkness within this world. And really that gets caught up into the idea of sin and how we are darkened by it, we're caught by it, and we're trapped in the darkness. In verses 1 through 11 of John chapter 8, it's a very familiar story of this woman caught in adultery. And the Jews have caught her committing adultery, and they grab her and they bring her before Jesus. And they want to know what He determines to do with her. And really, the law would determine anyone caught in adultery is to be stoned to death. I mean, that's the law. That's what should happen, right? And so Jesus should just go ahead and proclaim that judgment. But of course, here in John chapter 8, He doesn't do that. Let's go ahead and read a few verses here. Let's start in verse 4. It says, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say?" They were saying this, testing Him, so that they might have grounds for accusing Him. But Jesus stooped down with His finger, wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking Him, He straightened up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and He was left alone and the woman, where she was in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go from now on, sin no more." And so we see the moral darkness within this world. This woman is caught in adultery. It's not like they just grabbed a random woman on the street and brought her up there. No, she was actually caught in adultery. And she was caught in her sin. Now, they fail to mention where the man is, right? Where's this man that was also caught in adultery? But regardless, sin truly is the dark power of this world. And it can blind us to what we truly need. Sin can hold us down, and it can take a long time for us to realize where we need to be. Jesus is the light of the world, and he comes in and he enlightens us. He brings this light and allows us to understand that we can have forgiveness of sin. He allows us to understand that we don't have to continue to live in our sins, that we truly can be freed of them. I love John chapter 8 because there's a lot of different sections within it that are quotable sections. If you skip down to John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." It's a favorite passage of mine. You know, the truth sets us free. Well, what is the truth? The truth to these Jews was to understand that they were truly enslaved. Now, they go on to argue with Jesus about being enslaved or actually being captive. You know, we haven't been captive at all. Abraham is our father, and we're not captive at all. But what were they truly enslaved to? Their sins. Now, Jesus could have argued and said, well, aren't the Romans ruling over you right now? Aren't you technically under their rule and authority? But he didn't go down that road. He wanted them to see that they were truly trapped in their sins, just as we need to understand what sin does to us and that moral darkness within this world. I was studying for this sermon, and I read a story about a Muslim girl who got pregnant, and she wasn't married, and her family basically shunned her. But she met with a Christian woman who told her of a place that she could go for help. And this Christian woman eventually went back to the United States. This happened over in a different country. And she hadn't heard from this lady in a long time. Eventually, she got a letter from this Muslim lady that she talked to. And she told her, "My brothers came to my house and they beat me until I miscarried my child. I'm sorry to have caused you any trouble." This poor woman was caught up in the darkness in the world. The sin that she had committed made her feel guilty. Of course, her family shunning her and then obviously beating her later on made her feel even more guilty and more shame and put her into an even darker place. But it also shows not only the darkness in this world that involves sin, but also the darkness within the religious communities. The fact that there are so many religions within this world that would try to tell you that what they share is the truth, that what they tell you is what you truly need. And here is Jesus saying, "I am the light. I will expose that darkness." Here within John chapter 8, as he's teaching and talking with these Pharisees and the Jews, they're not comprehending everything he has to say. In verse 13, after he's proclaimed that he is the light, the Pharisee said to him, "You are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Well, that's actually a pretty fair statement when you think about it. If all you have is your word and you're trying to tell me something, I could believe you if I chose to. But, of course, with the Jews, they need at least 2 to 3 witnesses, right? We need 2 or 3 witnesses to make sure that what you're saying is true. Now, Jesus is saying, "I am a witness to myself." If you look at verse 14, he says, "Even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I came from or where I am going." He's going to testify about himself. That's what he's here. That's what he's doing. But he also goes on to say that his Father testifies with him. And his Father, of course, is God. Skip on down to verse 18. He says, I am he who testifies about my Father, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. They begin saying in verse 19, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. And so here they are, confused. Who is your Father? He says, if you knew me, you would know him. That goes to tell us that if we know Jesus, we know God the Father. Jesus explains who he is by his words, by how he lived, by how he acted, by how he treated others. Jesus is the representation of our Heavenly Father. But within this, they are confused. And they go on later, even in verses 30 and 40 and into verse 50, they're confused about this father situation. They go on to say that Abraham is their father. Skip down to verse 33. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. You guys have to realize that sin is what you are enslaved to. They were constantly thinking about the physical realm around them. Yeah, technically the Romans have rule over us, but we're not enslaved to them. We're not their slaves in their homes or anything like that. We're not slaves as our fathers were in Egypt. Jesus says you were slaves because of your sin, because of that darkness. You're slaves because you're calling out to Father Abraham. You're looking to him rather than to your heavenly Father for the answer. Skip down to verse 39. It says that they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, okay, if you are Abraham's children, then do the deeds of Abraham. If Abraham was truly your father, then live like him. Verse 40, but as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. Jesus says, I am telling you the truth. Doesn't the truth expose the darkness? The truth really does expose the darkness, doesn't it? When we sin, a lot of times, we try to hide it, don't we? We try to put it in the closet. We try to close it. Or, you know, if we're sinning using our computers, we go to the privacy web browser, and then we try to delete our cookies, and we try to do whatever we can to hide sin, to keep it in the dark, to hide our desires, to hide our lusts, to hide the sins that we've committed. But the truth eventually comes out. Even if the truth never comes out in this life, guess who's known all along? God. In Hebrews chapter 4, the Hebrew writer tells us that everything is laid bare before the Father. We can't hide anything from him. We might be able to fool our friends. We might be able to fool even our own family members, our spouses. Can't fool God. You cannot hide your sins from him. The encouragement this morning is to stop hiding in the darkness, to come out into the light where you will truly be set free. That's what Jesus is trying to show them. That's what he's showing us today. If you come out into the light, you ask for that forgiveness, you begin to live and follow Jesus, Because you know what he says in verse 12? He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. That light of life is the everlasting life that we seek, that we so desire. And the only way we can have it is if we follow after him. Jesus said on another occasion that you need to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow after me. Do we see Jesus as the light? Are we willing to follow him? He will lead us out of the darkness and bring us into the light. The word light is used throughout Scripture in a number of different places. One of my favorites is 1 John chapter 1, where John tells us that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. You want to know where Jesus is leading us? He's leading us to the Father. There is no darkness at all with him. That's where he's leading us. Also, turn back to John chapter 1. John had already called Jesus the light earlier on in this book, talking about Jesus in John chapter 1 and verse 4, he says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Verse 11, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. That's what we're seeing happen in John chapter 8. Some of them begin to believe, but then he goes on and teaches some more, and then they're ready to pick up stones and kill him. Skip down towards the end of John chapter 8. Stuck in their sins, in the darkness of the world, in the darkness of their religious beliefs, Jesus is trying to enlighten them, trying to show them the truth. But if you skip down to verse 56, Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" You see, the Jews are still stuck on, you know, Jesus, you're like 30, right? There's no way you could have seen Abraham. How do you know who Abraham is? How do you know any of this stuff? Look at verse 58. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." It's a powerful statement by Jesus. People who don't believe Jesus is God obviously haven't spent time in the gospel account of John. John, throughout his book, is testifying that Jesus is the Son of God. And all throughout it, you see that he is God. And right here is one of those moments. He says, "Before Abraham was born, I am." Now, "I am" might not automatically click. What does that mean? Where does that come from? You remember Moses in the book of Exodus? Moses is called by God to go and set his people free from Pharaoh. And of course, Moses has this conversation with God, and he's trying to argue his point and say, "You know, I'm not very eloquent. I'm not the right person. I shouldn't be the one to go. I shouldn't be the one to do this." Eventually, Moses gets to the point where he's, "All right, I'll go," right? But then he says, "Whom shall I say sent me?" He says, "I am has sent you." This is a phrase in the book of John. When Jesus is saying, "I am the light of life," when Jesus is saying, "I am the bread of life," when he's saying, "I am the good shepherd," when he says, "I am the door of the sheep," when he says, "I am" over and over and over and over again, It's a constant reference to remember that he is God, to recognize that that's exactly who he is. I am. I am the self-existing one. I am the one who created everything. I am. Is who he is. But it doesn't end there. Jesus not only is shining light on the darkness in the world and their sins and on this religious confusion, but also, if you go into John chapter 9, you see him give physical light to a man who was born blind. The disciples here are still confused with some of their religious error, thinking that this man being born blind, somebody had to sin, right? Which one of his parents did it? Who sinned? Who caused him to be blind? That's not why this man was born blind. But Jesus says in verse 3, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, notice verse 5, I am the light of the world. Jesus still continuing to show them, I am the light. Follow me. When you're in a cave and it is dark, and your lights go out and your lamps go out, hopefully you're close to the opening of the cave. Why? Because you can see a little bit of light shining through. And that gives you the direction to go. If I can just keep going towards that light, I'll get out of this darkness. Whatever sins might be in your life, if you will simply focus on Jesus, follow his light, follow after him, that darkness can be taken care of. As John said in chapter 1, the darkness did not comprehend the light. The light of Jesus will get rid of those sins. But if we continue on here with this blind man, if you skip down to verse 25, Jesus has healed him, and now he's being interrogated by the Jews. And in verse 25, he answers them, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They're trying to get this man to accuse Jesus of being a sinner, of doing some things. This blind man says, listen, I see now, and that's all I know. I was blind, and now I see. But skip on down to verse 35. Jesus heard that they had put him out. And finding him, that is, this man that was blind, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe you. And he worshipped him. One of the few instances within Scripture that it's recorded is somebody stopped and worshipped Jesus. It's a powerful statement of who he is. That Jesus truly is the Son of Man, the Son of God. That he truly is God and worthy to be worshipped. In verse 39, Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world so that those who do not see may see. And that those who see may become blind. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, we are not blind too, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains. These Pharisees were still confused, were lost in their religious traditions and beliefs and rules and all those things that they were failing to truly see who Jesus was. He was the Christ, the Messiah, the one they had been looking for, had been hoping for, and yet they are rejecting him. They even picked up stones in chapter 8 after he said, "I am," and tried to kill him. But Jesus is the light of the world. He brings light to those of us who have been in darkness. Many of you here recognize where you were, that you were living in darkness, in your transgressions and your sins, and you eventually came to the realization that Jesus is the light of the world, that He is the one that you need to follow, that He is the one who gives you the answers that gets rid of those sins. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. If you skip up to verse 12, you notice at the end of the verse, it talks about the inheritance of the saints in light. Jesus is the light of the world, and He's taken us from a domain of darkness into His kingdom. I believe in 1 Peter, it talks about transferring us to His marvelous light. If you want to have light in your life, if you want to truly see, you're going to have to start following Jesus. If you have not obeyed the gospel yet to wash away your sins and to begin that life of following Him, I encourage you, today's the day. Don't wait. Because the darkness will just continue to get darker, and you'll continue to go further and further into sin. For those of you who have already obeyed the gospel, who have already committed and said, I will follow you. I will follow you the rest of the days of my life. It doesn't mean that we're always on the up and up, right? Sometimes we fall. We falter. And we make mistakes. And sometimes we go back to that old life that we were living. If you found yourself in that situation, please don't stay there. Come back to the Son of God who you know is the light of the world. If there's anyone who has a need, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.